We come now to the meditation on this Ash Wednesday. I'm using the theme not only tonight, but through Lent, the theme from dust to promise, refreshing our hearts during the season of Lent. There are two scripture readings this evening. The first is from the Old Testament book of Joel. You may have noticed that we did not have Paul offer, after the prayer of confession, words for the assurance of pardon. And that's because they come this evening from the prophet Joel. This prophet in chapter 2 here in these verses, he tells us about the promise of God's forgiveness, about the promise of God's grace, about the promise of God's mercy, and the promise of God's steadfast love. And so listen as I read Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible this evening. The prophet says, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." And then the second reading is from Philemon in chapter 1, verse 7. I'll explain it later in the course of the meditation. Paul writes here to his brother Philemon, "I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother." Let us pray now as we come to this evening's message. O God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds and renew our hearts, that as your word is proclaimed, may we be led into your truth and discover your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, the message this Ash Wednesday evening, as we prepare for this 40-day journey to Easter, it takes the form of reflections that I want to share on three scripture readings that were all read this evening. The first is Psalm 51. Psalm 51, which Paul read earlier as the call to the confession of sin, is really sort of a call for us to do individual spring cleaning of our hearts and our souls. The psalmist in it prays for mercy. "Have mercy on me, O God." He asks for everything that he has done wrong to be forgotten by God. "Wipe away," he says, "all of my wrongdoings." And the Lord responds in the psalm by asking him to return to God, to return to him with real regret and, an interesting phrase, with the tearing of his heart. Now, biblically, this is trying to say to us that real repentance, real change is necessary for us to be transformed by God's love. Real repentance means changing your heart. A complete change of heart, you see, requires more than just a partial surrender or just a little a feeling of guilty, just a little bit. Of course, the tearing of one's heart, it comes from the Bible, and it's meant, like the tearing of clothes in the Bible, was meant to convey sorrow and grief over the death of a loved one, for example. And the psalmist here, you see, prays individually because the psalmist knows that God can complete a change of heart, that it takes God to do this, that the psalmist cannot do this by himself. It cannot be done alone. And he prays very individually, "Have mercy on me." He knows that no amount of human effort can redeem him by himself. And so our journey through Lent to Easter is not made by ourselves. It is a commitment to draw closer to God. That's what this journey is, a time to draw closer to God, especially during the season of Lent to Easter. It is a time when we continually prepare, when we continually open, and we continually expect and ask for God to work and to act in our individual lives. And we do so with eager consent. Come, Lord Jesus. We ask God to place a new and faithful heart within us. That's what we're doing when we place those ashes on our hands or on our forehead or on that of a loved one's this evening. And so today is a day in the Christian church around the world. Ash Wednesday is a day to tear down the walls of the heart. Walls that we often, however, build up in our hearts to keep out hurt, to keep out pain, to keep out others. So often those very walls are built to keep God out and others out. But when we do that, it often locks in the pain that we've experienced in life over some event, over some conversation, and we just lock it inside us. The prophet Joel, he also reminds us in our reading to return to the Lord, and he uses much of the same individual language as the psalmist. Joel goes a little further and reminds us that God's mercy, compassion, and forgiveness and abounding love is greater than God's anger at our human failings. It's wonderfully good news. And finally, in our third reading, the reading from the Apostle Paul's letter to Philemon, Paul writes to Philemon asking him to receive a man named Onesimus like a brother, not, he writes, as a slave. Paul wanted those Christian believers who were meeting in Philemon's house to do the same with Onesimus. Onesimus had run away. He had run away from his master Philemon. And it is believed that Paul sent him back with this short letter that we'll refer to several times during the season of Lent. And it is also believed that Philemon was a leader among the Christians in that area and that he held church, he held worship and study of God's word within his own house. And so he may have also been of some wealth. He may have had a vast house there. And Paul writes, "You, dear brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." In other words, you have refreshed the hearts of God's people. Paul had a big favor that he asked of his old Christian friend and colleague, grace and freedom for this runaway slave to receive him as a brother. And so, you see, on this Ash Wednesday, these words from verse 7 here in Philemon, they seem appropriate as we begin our journey through these 40 days of Lent. The hearts of the saints, in other words, the hearts of God's people, have been refreshed through and can be refreshed through you. Lee Eklov, a retired pastor of 40 years of ministry who now teaches occasionally at Trinity Evangelical Seminary in Illinois, he writes in his book, Reflection on the Care of Souls, he writes these words, "We as church leaders often underestimate how weary and lonely and thirsty our church people often are, and how thirsty and weary we are as church leaders as well." I've often thought, he writes, about the story of Philemon, the runaway slave, on Sunday mornings while I watch folks take their seats for worship. How weary and thirsty and dirty Onesimus may well have been in that journey when he ran away from his master Philemon and then was sent back. Must have been a long journey both ways, perhaps. And when I think of that story, he writes, I think about the dirty, difficult places, the dirty, difficult situations where the people in our church may have been and may have had to work in difficult circumstances all week. A lot of believers spend their week trying to keep gunk off their hearts from difficult relationships, trying to keep their souls from smelling. And then Reverend Eklov writes this, "I have learned we draw refreshment as we care for one another. From the Spirit of God's refreshment springs up and refreshes our hearts within as well." The Apostle Paul, he applauded his old friend Philemon. He writes, "I hear about your love for all God's people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. There's the well. There's the wellspring. There's the promise to look for during Lent. That we are to love others, and when we do that and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are refreshed and our hearts are made new. Apart from that, whatever we offer as human beings can be stagnant." Or maybe more to the point, this year when I watched the Super Bowl, I was fascinated that they've started doing that split screen thing where even at a commercial sometimes they still show the sidelines and the players mulling around waiting on the commercials to stop so they can play again. And I noticed more than ever on the sidelines, perhaps it's because of the Super Bowl, they're all that these people whose sole job seems to be squirting Gatorade in the players' mouths to restore their electrolytes and to keep them hydrated. And I thought, touche, that's what it's like for us as we refresh our hearts during Lent. Our ministry is just like that in the church. And it should be during Lent. Because Lent is not just an individual journey, it is a journey of all God's people to prepare and to worship and to pray that God will refresh us, not just individually, but will refresh us collectively. That we will continue to seek to circulate safely among one another as best we can by Zoom, in person, in small groups, emails, cards, and prayer, offering grace fresh from Jesus to the spent and the parched. And that's us during Lent. When I look back on 35 years of pastoring, I think the best part often has been watching people week after week come together and refresh their hearts as the Lord's people. It matters during this season of Lent. It matters that we actively trust Jesus to use us. It matters that we love the people that we meet. It matters that we should shoulder one another's burdens during this pandemic, to share one another's joys, honor their dignity, and thank God for this fellowship that is so much a treasure to each one of us. It does matter that we linger and that we listen to one another and then that we wait for the Spirit's prompting to speak at the appropriate time. I have personally found that unless we tend to our own souls individually, and I hope we will do this individually during these 40 days, that if we seek to refresh our own hearts, seeking to be refreshed by Jesus, that will help us to have the Spirit dwell within us and we will be refreshed. For if we do not do that, we will run on empty. And so during these next 40 days, let us ask God to have mercy on us individually and to create a clean heart within us and for God to renew us collectively as a people of faith. And this evening, I hope you have prepared for this moment of Ash Wednesday. It's a very special moment. We will place in just a moment, I will place the sign of the cross on my own forehead. I will do so with ashes that I have here. For those of you who picked up ashes yesterday, I encourage you to use that. You can simply just use your finger and make the sign of the cross. You can use soil from outside your home in the ground. You can use soil from a potted plant. You can use a healing oil or ointment, but using your finger works quite well as well, for God's Spirit will work through whatever you do. And so as we come together, we use the words from Genesis 3:19, and I'll use the first person, "I am from dust, and to dust I shall return." But I also affirm faith, as each one of us do, because I affirm that in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. And now may you do that at home. I am from dust, and to dust I shall return, in the certain hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.